ये就当做就能了，这就把多大年就算，那个姐姐一个送他们去，找了半截三月就过来说，三月就当做就能，这就把多大年就算去，那个姐姐一个送他们去，找了半截三月就过来说，刚开头就你说的，到我他们这旁边去，等别去年就找我过年的那家子，同年你就送到这边了，姐姐是几个，今年就跟，现在不忙的人就做了，送我的人，那月经急了。
俺们两个生东尼过了些些，那俺们都，那将军先把他们的他当写了，的车上也买着话去送出去的，你们去过来是？今天接完人，当俺们对呢将军先别给你们接班那些，那俺们对呢东尼写的，俺们就开始要开始读那东尼给什么东西，你开始读那，俺就个钱用过来是？现在俺们对呢东尼多一个，他不了，俺们就给俺这个，说些个。
他看上接不接去过，忙不写着，天天上班。他天天给东西多了呀，那错啥活子？那这个，东西过忙不退，你天天那这个，说说你这个，这上班忙不当。天天他那那么了呀，说话接不？天天说说给就是做，忙着当，天天给另外有什么给就刚刚做，天天准备呢，俺是东西过上班给等于的接，俺天天给他了，俺就陆续接好多事情，看上的去啥去。
Am I here? I'm here. good morning. And last night we were looking at the verse on the perfection of wisdom. So we spoke about emptiness in some detail. And within this practice for the perfection of wisdom, we saw last night two key points. So the first was that Bodhisattva practices both method and wisdom together. So this was the first key point, that one cannot rely on only the method side, or practices of the method side, or those of the wisdom side. Rather, one needs to practice both together. And then we spoke about how this is done, and we spoke about how that when one is engaging in virtuous activities, one should maintain an awareness of emptiness. And we spoke about this in the context of reflecting on the emptiness of the three spheres. So the first being the emptiness of the activity, the emptiness of the the first emptiness of the object, the second of the activity, and thirdly of the practitioner. So that, and we looked at that in relation to each of the perfections, as well as bodhicitta and the like. So this was an illustration of how a bodhisattva practices with the union of method and wisdom. And us as practitioners who want to emulate bodhisattvas, who want to enter within their ranks, the ranks of bodhisattvas, we too should practice in this way. And then last night we also spoke about that to do this, we need to first come to understand emptiness and the various practices, and then we need to reflect. Whilst coming to understand the practices, we need to reflect on the practices. And then thirdly, as part of our reflection, we should make supplication to our Lama and our Yidam and the like for blessings, so that we can attain the realization of emptiness. And then fourthly and fifthly, this should be done in conjunction with the acts of accumulation of virtue and purification of previously accumulated negativities. So that in brief is what we looked at last night. Today, now we're going to continue with the explanation on this verse, the 30th practice, and we start off with some quotations.
Mm-hmm.
The first is a quotation from the compendium. Thoroughly knowing that all phenomena lack inherent existence is meditation on the supreme perfection of wisdom. I'll read it again. Thoroughly knowing that all phenomena lack inherent existence is meditation on the supreme perfection of wisdom. This verse then refers to both the method and the wisdom side practices. So the first line, thoroughly knowing that all phenomena lack inherent existence, then this refers to the wisdom realizing emptiness. So with the wisdom that realizes that all phenomena without exception lack true existence or are not established by the way of their own defining characteristics. The wisdom that realizes this is the wisdom realizing emptiness, and when it's a direct realization, it's part of the perfection of wisdom. And then the second line, this is the practice of the supreme perfection of wisdom, then this here refers to the understanding or the realization of emptiness being practiced in conjunction with the other perfections such as generosity, ethical conduct, etc. So here this verse refers to the practicing of method and wisdom together.
Da jinba da tsujim zeba tsunje samden di ye ka te ko mun na sunam yu cho sa gri ma do nyom mo ba le ngo su nye che nyom mo bo ngo su nye che me ba su tu go ma le ma du ba za da dan de tong yu tu be she ra gom ba yin na ne sun cho sa go re cho sa ba ma se da de le ya ne nyom mo be gi nyem bo de chi nyem bo chi nyom mo ba de za wa ni me ba ko su tu go ro wa ti da ne di na ne ko cho ya sho re se ra.
The reason that also in this verse it refers to the perfection of wisdom as being the supreme practice is because no matter how much merit one accumulates through practices such as generosity, ethical conduct and the like, that merit alone will not be able to eliminate the root of cyclic existence. To eliminate the root of cyclic existence, one needs the direct antidote, the wisdom realizing emptiness. For the wisdom realizing emptiness to be effective, it needs to be powered by wisdom. It needs to be powered by merit. So merit is required to power the wisdom so that it can realize emptiness and thereby eliminate the afflictions. However, the accumulation of merit on its own is not sufficient to eliminate the afflictions from their root. And therefore, the perfection of wisdom is referred to as supreme. And then there's a quote from Atisha's Lamp on the Path to Enlightenment. Wisdom separated from method, and method too separated from wisdom, are referred to as imprisonment. Therefore, do not give up on either. So I'll read it again. Wisdom separated from method, and method too separated from wisdom, are referred to as imprisonment. Therefore, do not give up on either.
Tap
And similar to what we've heard already, this verse from Lama Tisha shows again that if the practitioner focuses primarily on the method side, they will not be able to achieve enlightenment just through the accumulation of virtue. And similarly, if the practitioner primarily focuses on the wisdom side, there too they will not be able, or thereby they will also not be able to attain enlightenment just through primarily focusing on wisdom. If one was only to practice one or the other side, then that would be, as it says in the verse, is referred to imprisonment or referred to as bondage. And that is because through only focusing on, for example, the wisdom side, one will not be able to attain full and complete enlightenment, and therefore one remains imprisoned, one remains bound. And similarly, if one only practices or primarily practices the method side, then one too is unable to attain enlightenment, and therefore one remains bound, or one remains imprisoned. And therefore this verse then concludes with the last line, do not give up on either. And this is again emphasizing the importance to practice both method and wisdom together. So in other words, in conjunction with meditating on love and compassion and engaging in practices such as generosity and the like, one also needs to meditate on emptiness. And then there's a quotation from Jaya Rinpoche, Lama Tsongkhapa. The sight of the view of the profound wisdom of reality is the path that removes the root disease of cyclic existence. The scriptures praise in all ways this treasury of good qualities, renowned as the supreme lamp clearing away the darkness of ignorance. I'll read it a second time. The sight of the view of the wisdom, of the profound wisdom of reality is the path that removes the root disease of cyclic existence. The scriptures praise in all ways this treasury of good qualities, renowned as the supreme lamp clearing away the darkness of the darkness of ignorance. So if we then take the method side practices and the wisdom side practices, amongst these two, we would say that if one is only engaging in practices on the method side, such as compassion and love and the like, would be blind on the path. One would be unable to see on the path. However, the wisdom side practices, so here the wisdom is likened to an eye or having sight on the path. And therefore, one needs to also engage in the wisdom side practices.
The And Tony Madonna, Sanjay Govan, Ganis Toku Gube, Haku Goma, Sanjay Govan, Tobala, Karapangu, Karameva Suku Gore, Jason, the name Haku Goma, the Tony Tobaina and the Dinzin Sadi, the Loche, the Kuyu in Batisa, Dipango by the Haku Gore, Jason, the Tony Tobaina, Dick Hagone, the Payak and Lam, the Tomnadini, Dipango, Pampa, Sanjay Govan, Top Tugu, but the Tongo, Haku Gorwa, Tisa.
So the reason that wisdom is likened to an eye illuminating the path or making the path visible, is because without the sight, one doesn't know what needs to be adopted on the path and what needs to be abandoned. In other words, what qualities to cultivate and what faults to abandon. So if one has this eye or the sight of wisdom, one will know that the root cause of suffering is the mind of true grasping, and that this is what needs to be eliminated. But to know this, one requires wisdom, and therefore wisdom is likened to an eye or the sight of the path. I'll read the first two lines of the verse again. The sight of the view of the profound wisdom of reality is a path that removes the root disease of cyclic existence. So this shows here that if one engages just in the method side practices, such as cultivation of love, compassion, generosity, ethical conduct, and the like, whilst one will accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue, this virtue alone is insufficient to destroy the root of the cyclic, or the root of the afflictions, the root of cyclic existence. This virtue will be able to subdue and help one deal with the afflictions, but it will not prevent them from arising. So to prevent them from arising, then the root cause of the rites or the afflictions needs to be eliminated. And the method side alone cannot do that. The wisdom side, the practices on the wisdom side, these are required. Because it's through the wisdom side practices, it's through the side of wisdom, that one will be able to identify that the ignorance of true grasping, that this is the root cause of cyclic existence, and that and furthermore, through the wisdom side practices, this root cause of cyclic existence, or we have here the root disease of cyclic existence, this ignorance of true grasping, this can be eliminated through the wisdom side practices. Third line, the scriptures praise in all ways this treasury of good qualities. So, the scriptures here then refer to both the sutras and the tantras taught by the Buddha, and within both the sutras and tantras, the wisdom realizing emptiness is praised by the Buddha.
And 사립지 너무 나냐 이네 비네 통말와다 되는 좋아야라 깔래 하버와 조투 말에 걸 가 조거나 조사들라 코랄 레코사들라 조투 말에스 지나다 델야네 휴마루 쉬어바이나 로와 휴마 휴마 쉬어바이나 되네 나우디 메바 스웨진 좋아야다 할 제가 제가 가르나 지투고와 디나신 다 되네게 사립지 문바 티바나신 가서 마오지기레
Then the fourth line, renowned as the supreme lamp clearing away the darkness of ignorance. So this then refers to that, so if someone, someone is, no matter how physically strong they are, and whatever qualities that they have, if they don't have if they are blind, they will not be able to see the path, let alone know what destination they are heading towards. So to alter that situation, such a person will need a torch or a lamp, and then the path will be illuminated due to having an understanding also of the goal to be achieved. So therefore here, wisdom is likened to a lamp or a torch that illuminates the darkness within the mind. And the darkness within the mind is the obscuring ignorance. So this is ignorance and all its accompanying afflictions which obscure reality and prevent us from being able to understand the path as well as the destination. Without wisdom, this ignorance cannot be illuminated, no matter how much merit one has accumulated. So therefore, it's only through the practice of the wisdom side that the darkness of the afflictions, and in particular their root cause, can be completely eliminated. And illustrations often given here to show the importance of method and wisdom being practiced together, or the importance of this. So, for example, if there are two people and one has a strong and able body, but they are blind. And then there's a second person who is sighted, but their body is lame. They are unable to walk. So neither of these people are able to travel to a destination, because the one cannot see the path, and the other doesn't have the physical means to travel along the path. So these then, however, if these two people came together, and they would be able in unison to travel the path together. So this is what is required here, and this analogy shows the importance of method and wisdom needing to be practiced together.
Mm-hmm. Mikambo Yubati Dang, and the Mikman Yichibare. Not only to be shed up the Mik Yubati Dang, and Kambo Miki Midita, Pitin Chibares. Cesanda, Kuniga, Religion, Akato, Kumbina, Sanyo, Kumato, Tuya, Mares. Cesan Dinenza, Diniga, Yamdu Kumbaina, that Chanyam Chenna, Niko Yam 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 Chevaina, Dinni, Deshi, Mini, Yamdu Totuba Nashin, and the Sanyo Kumato Satella, and the Sanyo Kumato to go.
Similar to this illustration then, the person with a strong and able body is likened here to someone who's accumulated a tremendous amount of virtue through practices such as generosity, ethical conduct, patience, love, compassion and the like. And the sighted person is likened to the person engaging in wisdom side practices. So neither on their own are able to travel to the destination, but the two together, they can travel together towards Buddhahood. The realization of emptiness itself brings about a tremendous number of benefits, and hence it's said to be so very important. Amongst these benefits, a further benefit is that one comes to have a greater understanding of causality, of karma, and therefore a greater belief, a greater faith or reliance in the law of karma. A second additional benefit of meditating on emptiness, or coming to an understanding or realization of emptiness, is that the love and compassion that one has for sentient beings, this is powered and strengthened through the realization of emptiness. So hearing this, you may wonder, so meditating on how all phenomena lack true existence, and the minds of love and compassion being strengthened by this, how do these two come together? They don't necessarily seem to have a relationship. In fact, there was a question posed to His Holiness a little while ago, that if someone who hasn't previously generated compassion focuses on the realization of emptiness, then is there not the possibility or the likelihood that as they progress with their understanding of emptiness, but without a mind of compassion, that they will end up looking down on others, His Holiness then replied by saying that such a person, such a meditator, then actually won't have come to understand emptiness correctly. So then how, through realizing emptiness, does one's love and compassion become so much more powerful?
Then bende kansa de yönüyor vada da ganes yobasında yuna kin gala ma çeşe rangi mönü duba de ne mindu sen dor vada de ton yu tasar va de ne to de niba de la kosam niba de da na ganes yor la de şenje le tüne duba şenje le tüne yungu yoba de tungor va tungor va.
So to understand how these two work together, then let's remind ourselves about what we looked at last night in terms of how one meditates on emptiness. So we first look at how things appear, and they appear to us as being truly existent. And then we investigate that appearance to see if the phenomenon exists in the way that it appears. And we looked at last night a couple of ways to come to see whether something exists in the way that it appears or not. So we spoke about one method being one or many, and we also spoke about dependent arising. So with this investigation of dependent arising, we look at to see if the phenomenon that appears to be truly existent is so. So this phenomenon that appears to be truly existent appears to be established from its own side. It appears not to be dependent on anything else, but existent by way of its own characteristics. Then we investigate and we come to see that no such phenomenon exists. There is no such phenomenon which is existent from its own side, that is not dependent on anything else. And then we come to this understanding of mere emptiness, or realization of mere emptiness. Following that, we then start to think about, so then how do things then exist in reality? And then we see that things are, rather than being truly existent and independent, things rather are dependent on others. So they appear to be not dependent on anything else, but in fact they are dependent on others. So that's then where we come to.
Dine dunga yin nar yue semje ti ge tong yong de ne semje tong yong de ne ko dunga na wa de ta yu ka le dine du wa se le da nyu mo ba le tene tene yong go re se di lam sa ha go go re ha go wa za ta ko le da nyu mo ba dunga ji te cha na san bi ge da dine ge dunga yu ju ta ko dunga ta wa dunga yu le da nyu mo ba de pang go de le cha na san bi ge da nyin ji de ta fa ji de go re se de.
Coming to add this clear understanding now of the meaning of dependence arising, and seeing how all phenomena are phenomena are mutually dependent and are not truly existent or not independent, then one comes to understand that suffering sentient beings, that the suffering of sentient beings is too is a dependence arising. It's not truly existent. And what is this suffering dependent on? It's dependent on causes, in particular contaminated karma and afflictions. And it's only through the elimination of this contaminated karma and afflictions that come from self-grasping, that one will be able to eliminate the suffering that sentient beings experience. So now coming to understand the situation of the suffering of sentient beings, compassion arises within the meditator.
Zandinigi, Duma Yonga, the Ju, and it led a numberable dinner yonga in Badeta, Denzin Marigba, Deletin Ungores, and the Sable Hago and the Latin Ju Deletin and Tehu Dingu or Sadi, that Sable Hago, the Gundigan Namshadi, the Sable Tongura, the Gundigan Namshadi, similar Susuki, similar Toyondu, and Ishidi Timbuchi.
It's the result of this meditation is a stable compassion arising within oneself. And this stable compassion comes from the understanding that the suffering that sentient beings are experiencing is a dependent arising, and it's dependent on this ignorance of true grasping. So understanding that this ignorance of true grasping is the cause from which all suffering that is being experienced arises, then stable compassion arises within the meditator.
Don't you do by in that? that could nubachero, the digodma, jamiala, nubachero. Tony Madova in the young, and the Tony was some da Tony gum, some davayana, and some davayana, and the digoshichumbu.
Furthermore, through the meditation on emptiness, then our own afflictions, these weaken, because as the conscious mind, this wisdom understanding reality, this wisdom understanding emptiness strengthens and grows, then our afflictions and their root cause, they all start to weaken in strength. And amongst the various antidotes to the afflictions, it's this wisdom understanding emptiness that is the most powerful one. And the reason that the wisdom realizing emptiness is the most powerful antidote to the afflictions is because the root cause of the afflictions is this ignorance of true grasping. And the antidote, the sole antidote that is directly opposed to that is the wisdom understanding emptiness. And because it's in direct contradiction to, the wisdom is in direct contradiction to the ignorance, it is able to oppose and thereby weaken and eventually eliminate this wrong view, this ignorance. Now we've heard about some of the tremendous benefits that come through the practice of cultivating wisdom. And this now in our context here of the practices of bodhisattvas is something that we too should then engage in. We've come to hear now how bodhisattvas do not engage primarily in either method side practices or in wisdom side practices, but they rather practice the two together. And we heard last night about how they do this through the recollection of the emptiness of the three spheres. So that is the way the bodhisattvas practice, and we should do so the same ourselves. And the way to bring this to a successful fruition is we need to receive many teachings, especially on emptiness. It's a difficult topic to understand. And in addition to receiving teachings, we need to go through our notes, we need to read other books and the like, and develop our knowledge. And in conjunction with developing our knowledge, we need to reflect, to contemplate on what we are studying, so that we can start to internalize this knowledge. And then, in conjunction with the study and the reflection, we need to engage in acts of accumulation, acts of purification, and make supplications to our teacher and Yidam and the like. And if we do all of these steps, then the understanding or the realization of emptiness will come about much more easily.
That 다드니 만디레샤 다드니 그진디 어 이니야 늘랍자 파신 두개 랍자 세야다데 달랍제 디장 두야 삼라가니 다지 냠는 제고레스 다 냠는 지다 나간 두야 만다 지게 동이 두비 셔라다 파주니 냠는 제어도 다 초사야다 마선나 간네치 가스콘 두 예 냠는 지다 간네 제고레스 야지 다 니니 니니리야 아 저게 니네 니들이야 냠는 제사 삼다다 간네 제고레스 나 디콜 마슈야시리 되도와
That brings us then to the end on this verse on the perfection of wisdom, which brings us to the end then on these practices of the six perfections. So this was in the context of the outline being the trainings of bodhicitta, and so there are two divisions here. And the first we've now looked at, that of the six perfections, and now we'll continue to look at the trainings of bodhicitta in the next outline.
अरे नीरे द नी मा गो मा जु गान ला खा सांग जो दा सिंग गो छि हे वा द गा छि बे गा गा छि बे दा सिंग छि ति पंग गा सिंग गा छि बे सिंग बा छि ति पंग गो ले से छि रो वा छि दा दे ले नोरिया छि ने गा छि कर दु से ने म जु छि दा म जु ल गा से छि ओ रो वा द गा गा दे बो दु गा यो रे गा खला से गे से गा छि बे गा सम गा छि बे छि ओ रो वा नी गा दिन दी गा वने छि बे ति को लो लो छि मा पंग गो दे मा रे पंग गो दे मा रे だ、人が全て読むねえで、だじこ、こっちこれ。ろは、人が、なてぶとせやだ。だでりゃ、がじんぱんぐれせで、がてぶとらよでじれや、にゃむと、がじんでれからさ、が、らしにるば。がせでがじん、ぎだけがんらえまとばらんぐねえ、ずばなんこれ、なわがじんじんじんじしょです。でらみがじんらこ、がじんせやで。だじがじんぱんやこ、ぱんこやがじんじれ。 마도 지장 タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。タニドヨバ。 ngadul nangor di nawa dar zimba di zimbe di zimba tela di ngadin la gor di dendin la gor pango di di re jeda jeda nga jeda nga nga dembo duba se da nga thangi de yoba ni duwa jeda jeda nga dembo duba de yo ma re di zimbe zimba de pango re la gor
di ha ka tsunye di tsi tanye de yoba de tsunke men do ga na
yoba de la thangi de yoba la gor wa jeda yoba yoba ko la mi gi pa thangi ta ne yoba su wa jeda thangi de yoba la gor
其实，其实我是的，有了吧的，我是的，我上一次了，我第五次，我有了吧的。其实你，我这边我卡拉塞比，塞比，我这边落地半个月嘛的，对吧？好，说。真的真的。嗯，呀。But just before we move on, there's one more thing I want to say about what we've been looking at here on the perfection of wisdom. So we spoke about last night and briefly then already this morning about this self-grasping of ignorance and that this is what one needs to abandon. However, with this there's one possible fault, so I want to say just a little bit more now to prevent any possible faults arising. And that is when we talk about ourselves, we say, I am happy, I am hungry, I am eating. So this I, indeed, this way of thinking with these statements, this I is not a wrong consciousness, and this I is not to be abandoned. So, I am happy, I am hungry. The I here, this is not the wrong consciousness, this is not the object of abandonment. Rather, the object of abandonment is when the I appears to us, and the way the I appears to us is as truly existent, and then we grasp at it. So this mind that grasps at the truly existent I, this mind of true grasping or self-grasping, That mind is the wrong consciousness. That mind is the root cause of psychic existence, and that is the mind that is to be eliminated. So that is what we've spoken about quite a bit now, last night and a bit this morning. So that is the object of abandonment. However, the I am happy, I am eating, this talking about the I in that way, this is conventionally existent, and that is fine. That is not something to be abandoned. Because this conventionally existent I, this is something that is merely imputed by mind. So that we mentioned briefly last night, but maybe it wasn't so clear. So when you talk about needing to abandon the I, what we are talking about is abandoning the wrong consciousness that is the mind of true grasping, this mind that grasps at the appearance of true existence as being in accordance with reality when it isn't. The conventionally existent I, the I that I'm happy, I'm feeling well today, this I is conventionally existent. It's merely imputed by mind, and this is not something to be abandoned.
To try put it in a different way, to hopefully
make this clear, is that the person exists, the person doesn't exist truly. So when we say the person exists, then how does the person exist? It exists as a mere imputation by mind, and this is conventionally existent, and this is the kind of person we talk about. I'm sitting here, I'm accumulating knowledge so as to progress towards enlightenment. So this is the conventionally existent I, and this is not an object of abandonment. What is the object of abandonment is the person that appears to be truly existent, and then is grasped at. So this mind that then grasps at that appearance of true existence, that mind of true grasping, or this mind of self-grasping, this is the object of abandonment. Because the person that appears to be truly existent appears not to be dependent on anything else. Then we have a mind that grasps at it. That mind is the wrong consciousness, and that mind is the object of abandonment.
So now we come to this second part of this outline on the trainings of a bodhisattva. So we've looked at the perfections. Now the second part is the explanation in the manner to rely on one's own personal experience. And this now covers the remaining seven practices of a bodhisattva. So I think you have outlines for each of these next seven verses. And what we have in the text is similar to some of them. So the first we'll look at is investigate and abandon one's own faults, which I think in your translation is abandoning hypocrisy. So anyway, we'll call it investigate and abandon one's own faults. The second of the seven is abandoning criticism of bodhisattvas. Thirdly, abandoning attachment to the households of benefactors. And then fourthly, abandoning harsh speech. And fifthly, the manner in which to abandon the afflictions. And then the sixth one, which I think is a little different from what you have, the significance of mindfulness and introspection. And then the significance of mindfulness and introspection in brief. And then the last one, dedication of virtue. So that's similar to the outlines that you have there. And so these now are the last seven of the practices of a bodhisattva, and they fall under the overall sub-outline of the explanation in the manner, the explanation in the manner to rely on one's own personal experience.
Now
the 31st practice, which comes under the outline of investigate and abandon one's own faults. And so the first line, if you don't examine your own errors. And then Gemma read the whole verse. In the first line here, we have this word error or mistakes. So this then refers to errors or mistakes that one has in terms of one's body, speech, and mind. In terms of one's speech, it would be things like expressing harsh words towards others or engaging in divisive speech and the like. And in terms of the body, so this would be physical acts which are harmful to others. And mental faults will be the afflictive minds, such as attachment, anger, etc. So these are all included here within one's own errors. And it's essential that one engages in this process of investigating one's own faults, one's own errors, because if one may show the outward signs of a Dharma practitioner, and one may express the words of a Dharma practitioner, such as, oh, I'm engaging in meditation on love and compassion and the like, but one's behavior will not necessarily be in accordance with that. In the context here of a bodhisattva, when a bodhisattva is engaging in acts of benefit to others, whether they are physically engaging in acts or verbally engaging in acts to be of benefit to others, it's imperative that the bodhisattva employs the minds of mindfulness and introspection to ensure that their activities of body and speech are in accordance with the aspiration of a bodhisattva, and thereby do not harm others in any way. So here the key point is the reliance on the minds of mindfulness and introspection. For a bodhisattva to be successful in their endeavors, it's not enough just to use mindfulness and introspection to guard them, guard their physical acts and their verbal acts from being harmful towards others. The bodhisattva also needs to use mindfulness and introspection to ensure that their physical acts are beneficial for others, that they are engaging in acts to benefit others, and that their speech is kind and gentle and brings harmony to people, etc. So again, these two key minds of mindfulness and introspection are used to ensure that one's activities are not only not harmful, but are beneficial. The bodhisattva will know very clearly that any harmful acts of body or speech will come from a motivation based on the afflictions. So in other words, if mind such as pride arises, the bodhisattva, if acting under the mind of pride, the bodhisattva will look down on others and belittle others. Or if a mind of anger or frustration, annoyance arises, then the bodhisattva will speak harshly towards others or abusively towards others. And similarly, in terms of physical behavior towards others, if the bodhisattva acts under the influence of the afflictions, then their physical activities will harm others. So therefore, the bodhisattva utilizes his mind of mindfulness and introspection to examine their own mind. And to examine their own mind, looking for the presence of the afflictions. So that's the first point, the key point. They're examining their mind, looking for the presence of afflictions, and then, if they notice an affliction, immediately they strive to eliminate it. They apply an antidote and they eliminate the affliction. So here the two key points are using mindfulness and introspection to examine the mind, and then secondly, taking action to eliminate And as we heard earlier, the bodhisattva utilizes these minds of mindfulness and introspection not just to look for the presence of the afflictions and then the elimination of those, but will then also make sure that there are virtuous minds present or dominant within their continuum, and thereby they're engaging with others under the influence of virtuous minds, and such as love, compassion, and the like. So therefore, the bodhisattva is doing several things throughout the day and through every day. They are examining their mind, looking for afflictions, and should they find an affliction, immediately apply an antidote. Then thirdly, they will ensure that their mind is rather dominated by virtuous minds, such as love and compassion and the like. So there are these three key steps here of looking for the afflictions, if they are found, eliminating them. And then thirdly, ensuring that virtuous minds are present and acted upon.
And this way of thinking is something that bodhisattvas engage in continuously, day after day after day. And this is a key point. It's not something that's sporadic. They use mindfulness and introspection to look at their own faults. And this is something that they continuously do, and in this way they improve their behavior and impact on and change the way that they relate to others. This then too should be a guide for us in terms of our own when interacting with others, that we too, like a bodhisattva, should take care of our mind and ensure that when we interact with others, we don't use any harmful words. And the way that we relate, behave towards others is never harmful, but only gentle and beneficial.
Now for ourselves and in our own practice, the very first step is we need to come to a clear and stable, unchanging understanding that the afflictions are harmful and they're only harmful. That, for example, anger is never beneficial or justified. That the afflictions are always harmful, and that acting under the afflictions produces suffering results. So this is the first understanding that we need to come to, and it needs to be clear and stable. Then when we have that understanding, then we will want to ensure that these minds do not arise, or if they do, that we will eliminate them. So we need to have this stable basis. And when we have that stable basis, then we, when engaging with others, we use mindfulness and introspection to look at our own minds. And as soon as we see an affliction arising, because of having this firm conviction that the afflictions are only harmful, we then apply the antidote and eliminate it.
If we
have cultivated this firm and stable basis that the afflictions are harmful, that they are not justified, that they don't bring benefits, and that they therefore are minds to be abandoned, with this conviction, not only will we Well, we guard our mind well, but we'll also start to become aware of which situations tend to give rise to the afflictions, which situations tend to be triggers for us, and therefore which situations are dangerous for us. And armed with that knowledge, then when we are in such situations, for example, if we meet someone that we don't get on with, etc., we will then be extra vigilant. These minds of mindfulness and introspection will be particularly present, because we know we need to be careful, because this is a time of danger, a time when we very easily can give rise, for example, to pride or arrogance or annoyance with another person. And therefore, we need to guard our mind, because these minds are only harmful. Then secondly, as we continue with our mental progression, we will know that whilst it is essential to guard our mind from the afflictions, that alone is not sufficient. We also need to ensure that virtuous minds arise and virtuous minds are generated, and we thereby engage with others under the influence of virtuous minds, minds such as love and compassion, and we therefore interact with others always under the influence of these minds.
So kangwe nangla inara so jingwe yidi kabla ani milya ji xie xie milne ska ya marwa ani su gu gi milya ani ji lyu yu kwa ne xian ne ba chi ne ji ska ya marwa da ga rong la san de le chu ba man ju se mi na le nyom ba da ji de xia so ra dan kong zo so ra dan de ne kun ji da ma le yo ai gi ning ga yo ro ba da ji sa de ne za su ji gu de se su se mi ya ani ga ri gi gu du se mi xin ju che de ne gi se mi ya kong zo dan kun ji da ma ja de ni ji gu ne Mahapang, Yesu Bhajye Mahajwa Shikadi, Kyen Ledi Na Natu Yungure Sambhika Samdhaji Paha Kanayi Paha. Tadhi Dosho Liyang Jogita, Dini Ki, Ngewe Samshen Le, Phenbe Samdhangi, Dini Shirokwa Shiyo, Shen Le, Ngejo Dini Dugin Sambhita, Dini Ki Samdhaji Ni, Ya Lhada Lama Liyang Jogita, Sodip Chaya Tang, Dini Ki Sosu Gita, Ngejo Gari Gomgin Na, Dini Gomruk Chaya Tang, Kanma Dini Shi, Chimene Chaya, Dini Ki Chewa Ina, Then similar Taji, so the Chibu, Michelin, the medical, so the similar Taji, Yomo Giacom, Dito, Gicho, the Kanon, Jiho, Jukores.
When we are home alone, then at such times it's, of course, a little more difficult to engage in harmful activities towards others, because we are home alone, we're not going to speak abusively to anyone or act in a harmful way towards anyone. However, then, it's still imperative we watch our mind and we utilize mindfulness and introspection, because whilst our physical and verbal actions are not going to produce any harm to others, our mental actions can produce harm to ourselves. So when we are on our own, we must continue to utilize the minds of mindfulness and introspection. And when we see afflictive minds arising, such as resentment, such as depression, etc., these minds can cause us harm. So then we need to, again, as soon as we notice the rise of the affliction, the second step, apply the antidote, eliminate the affliction, and not allow minds of depression or resentment or anger to arise and dominate. And then furthermore, when we are on our own, we shouldn't leave it at just this half of guarding our mind against afflictive minds, but also generate virtuous minds. And so that even when we are on our own, to generate minds such as love and compassion and the like. And when we should also make supplications to our Lama and to our Yidams and the like, make supplications requesting their blessings that our virtuous activities and our cultivation of these virtuous minds, that they go well, that they are successful.
Nadang on the dinner day, Luma used to be nane, so Sunya de Carcaway, Sunya de Carson, and the same Sunya did the same. Similarly, your more Gemaji than the Kaya, Sunya di, Pak Gemaji Kaya, the Sunya did that, they did cheshire a chevore. Did I did, same Nala, your more Gemaji, and the dieting of the Champa de Shishin Gidina, Champa de Shishin in the Tempura chip. They Shishin digi and an answer you like some non ala caracol to do, I call him some dang, Lansa, and do what you call an odi. Ma jomelia, and in change, and some da to see who is. Chidadi, Casane, Andugiti, Pishinada, in Lamisalia, Mango Tushi, and then Yomo Vagina, some like a stango resin, then it in a tango to Korugina, and it's a quarter of Dosho, Silva, some tango resada, Senna Gina, Dito, Jimmy, and Jim Lenjo, some tango resada,
Amongst the body, speech, and mind, it's most important that we take care of our mind, that we guard our mind, that we stay aware of what is going on in our mind. And in particular, we look for the arisal of the afflicted minds. This is particularly important because it's from the presence of the afflicted minds that we engage in harmful speech and harmful activities. And then, not only should we be aware of the arisal, but the second step, that we should immediately eliminate these minds, not think that it's justified or it's some good can come or it doesn't matter, it's only an unimportant afflictive mind, etc. We should immediately eliminate the afflictions as soon as they arise. And to do this, we need to rely on the teachings that we've received as well as our own study at home, because through this we should have it very clear not only the faults of the afflictions but what the antidotes are. So we've heard that, for example, minds such as harmful intent or these harsh minds towards others, an antidote to that would be, say, love and compassion, or anger at a situation or a person, then the antidote would be a mind of patience. Likewise, attachment, an antidote would be contentment, or a mind of a selfish mind of miserliness, then the antidote would be generosity. So to have this knowledge that what the antidote is, that is dependent on having received teachings and studied those teachings so that these are firmly placed within one's mind and one is able to recall them, one is able to rely on them. So here, just to say as an aside, because we talked about mindfulness and introspection, in Tibetan, this word for mindfulness is the same word as for memory or to recall. So there's this relationship when you talk about mindfulness and recalling or memory. So then, again, that's using the same word, but here it has the meaning of recalling something. So we need to have, first of all, mindfulness and introspection to be aware of what's happening in our mind. And when we see the antidotes, have the unmistakable, unshakable view that these antidotes are harmful, these afflictions are harmful and must be abandoned. And then using our mindfulness and our recollection, recall what the antidotes are and apply them. So this is something that we need to do, and this is something of great importance.
And the Buchunjo, Namsa,
And So if you recall, when your children were very young, they were susceptible to anything, to so many things going wrong. Their bodies were very weak and fragile. They could easily get ill or harm themselves. And they almost seemed to want to go in directions of harming themselves because they didn't know any better. So then you as a parent, you would have, no matter what you were doing, you would have always had an eye on your children, making sure that they didn't come to any harm at all. So you took very close care of your children, because at that point, they were particularly vulnerable. So similarly, now with ourselves and our minds, within our minds, we have, due to the strong habituation to the afflictions, they arise so easily. It doesn't take much for an afflicted mind to arise. So therefore, just like a parent takes close care of their children, we should take close care of our mind and watch our mind with attention continuously, and thereby protect ourselves from the arisal of the afflictions, or when they arise, to immediately apply an antidote and eliminate them.
Mm-hmm. Dini tuyo du yen lia nu, yen lia nu bi ge da rang lai nu, di rang xin cha sang la dunga ganga che huaya chik chie. Dini ki nyu mongba chi ne dini lia ngan ba sa, yen lia nu ba chi bing, yin nyu yin lia ngan ba sa, ni ji bu jiwa chi ma la ngan zu dunga yung huaya mongba cha huaya. Dini zang ngan zu sim sung gu le, sim sung gu le. Dini sim nyu mongba chi ye di pa sung, dini ge shu di ganga yung huaya di, bi zi chi huaya yim zang chik di le chua le.
Just in brief now, the reason that it's so important that we guard our mind from afflictions is it's because of the influence of the afflictions that we harm others. We harm others with our speech, we harm others with our actions, and we harm ourselves just through the presence of these suffering minds. And not only do we harm others through the presence of afflictions, but due to those activities we accumulate negative karma, and that harms us in our future lives. So that is why it is essential that through using mindfulness and introspection, we guard our mind from the afflictions, and we don't allow them to remain once noticing they have arisen. Then accompanying this, we should then ensure that as we generate the antidotes, that we maintain virtuous minds, the dominance of virtuous minds, and thereby engage with others or interact with others through minds such as love and minds such as compassion. And this way, not only do we benefit others, but we accumulate virtue, which will ripen in good experiences in future lives.
If we employ this advice repeatedly and continuously, the result is we will accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue, and we will purify a tremendous amount of non-virtue. And as we heard this morning, that in order to realize emptiness, it is not enough just to think about emptiness. One also needs to accumulate virtue, because this powers the realization of emptiness, or the meditation on emptiness. So therefore, if one guards one's mind from the afflictions, and in addition to this, keeps the mind virtuous, we will be accumulating a lot of virtue, purifying a lot of negativity, and this will serve to purify our mind, to power our mind of wisdom, that is meditating on emptiness, and thereby bring the attainment of the realization of emptiness closer and closer.
Is that the Chinese?
Deshi sikse.
Deshi nye la.
Deshi nye la.
我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人,我的人
So all of us here, we sit here as Buddhist practitioners, and so some of us visibly wear the signs of being Buddhist practitioners. However, whilst we may have an outward display or tell people that we are Buddhists and the like, we need to ensure that our inner behavior, our mental behavior, is in accordance with the Dharma, that we guard our mind against the arising of the afflictions. Because it's no good if we tell, proclaim to the world that we are practitioners of the teachings of the Buddha, but our mind is dominated by the afflictions and we are not doing anything about that, because then our behavior will not be in accordance with the teachings. And that is where we are in danger of, as it says here, you may look like a practitioner but not act as one. So that's where we'd be in danger of being a hypocrite, because we're proclaiming to the world to be a practitioner of the Buddha Dharma, but we're not pacifying our own mind. It's completely unacceptable if one is a practitioner of the Buddha Dharma to engage in acts in acts of deceit towards others, to deceive others. This would not be acceptable at all. And this advice, of course, applies to both those who wear the outer signs of a Buddhist practitioner, who have the vows of the ordained, as well as to the non-ordained practitioners. Because the non-ordained practitioners are also known in the world as being Buddhists, people who are pursuing minds of love and compassion. And if such people who are known as Buddhists but are actually acting in deceitful ways towards others and acting in a way to take advantage of others for their own benefit, then this too is completely unacceptable. Then there's a quotation here from Sutra, and that any sentient being that loses faith must endeavor to rectify that. So this would be because should one not have faith in the teachings, then one will act in a way that's contrary to the teachings, and thereby will engage in acts which are directly harmful to others, as well as being harmful to oneself. So therefore, this needs to be abandoned. Therefore, one must endeavor to utilize these minds of mindfulness and introspection to ensure that one's mind remains virtuous and that one's mind doesn't come under the influence of the afflictions and thereby harms others. So just again, that it's, one needs to guard one's mind through the use of mindfulness and introspection to ensure that one's acting in accordance with the Buddha Dharma. Because if one loses faith in the Buddha Dharma, then one will not care about one's behavior. One will not think about the effects of harmful that come from having negative minds present. And then one will end up engaging in more and more activities that harm others or speech that harms others. And from this, not only do we create disunity and destroy any harmony in our community, but we will also accumulate a tremendous amount of non-virtue, of negativities. And this will be done because of not guarding our mind and thereby accumulating non-virtue.
In this context, Jerumpuche Lama Tsongkhapa gives the following advice. He says, internally, we should cultivate minds such as love and compassion and the wisdom realizing emptiness and possibly engage in the practices of Tantra. But this is something that should be done internally. Externally, one should show a subdued aspect and one should not broadcast the activities that one is engaging, the spiritual activities that one's engaging in. Because if one does that, then one is likely to engage in talking down to others or deprecating others. So for example, I'm engaging in the practices of Tantra. These are things you don't even know about. Or I'm generating love and compassion for all beings. You don't think about the welfare of others. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa advises us to engage in these practices, but these are mental practices, so therefore they are to be kept within us. They're not to be broadcast and shown off to the world.
Mm.
Then there's a quotation from Dakpo Rinpoche. Abandon unconscientious behavior that lacks belief in the soul beyond. Abandon delightfully talking about the faults of others and hiding one's own errors. So here the advice is that those who are showing the outer signs of Dharma practitioners should act in accordance with this. So for example, those who are ordained, they should, if they engage in a variety of activities and the busyness of lay life, then from this people will criticize them. Or someone who's a practitioner of Tantra and shows the outer signs of that, they tell people about it, they have a consort, they grow their hair long and they have many ornaments and the like, but then they act in very ordinary ways, then they too will be criticized. And the fault here is that due to one's own poor behavior, others criticize and thereby accumulate tremendous negativities, and thereby we end up indirectly harming others. Read the second line again. Abandon delightedly talking about the faults of others and hiding one's own errors. So here this is describing a faulty behavior, the behavior where one's own faults one hides and keeps to oneself, but rather is happy to talk about the faults of others and points the finger to others rather than looking within oneself. So this isn't honest behavior. This is not the way we should engage. And there's a brief quotation from Drontumpa. Be skilled in cleansing one's own faults oneself. So what John Tompa is saying here is that the wise or the skillful, they do not engage in pointing out the faults of others or engaging in the mental activities of looking at the faults of others. Rather, they investigate their own minds and they look for the faults within on their own continuum and apply the antidote to those faults. So their focus is internally. That is the focus of the wise or the skilled. They don't focus on looking at the faults of others, but looking at their own faults.
Yes,
So does this mean that when we've heard this advice now many times, we should be looking at our own faults and investigating our own mind, not engaging in investigating of the faults of others? But does this mean that others don't have faults, or that if we see faults, we shouldn't say anything?
There are three key points. So firstly, if we engage in the activity of investigating the faults of others and speaking about the faults of others, here we are almost certainly going to be acting under the influence of the afflictions. So the afflictions in our own mind are leading to us to talk badly about others. So therefore, we are advised not to investigate the minds of others and talk about the faults of others, because we do this under the influence of the afflictions. And then secondly, what we should rather be doing is looking at our own mind. And if we're going to speak about faults, speak about one's own faults. Because if we're speaking about the faults of others, we almost certainly will be speaking under the influence of the afflictions. If we're talking about our own faults, then we're talking honestly. And amongst the two, of course it's better to talk honestly rather than talk under the influence of the afflictive mind. However, in the third point, if someone else is engaging in harmful behavior that is leading to the accumulation of negativities, then one may well have the wish to say something, to point out the results of what they're doing, to point out the suffering that will follow from the behavior they're engaging in. So here the question comes as to then whether one should do so, whether one should, here in this case, point out the faults of others or not. So whilst one has a good motivation, a motivation to be of benefit to the other person, it's not certain that that result will follow. So here are the key points as to whether one should engage and advise the other person is whether one has the required relationship with that person, a relationship where they would welcome your opinion and your advice. If you have that relationship with them, then that is a different situation. If you don't have that relationship with them, then to point out their faults is not going to bring about your desired goal. Despite having a good motivation, it will not result in that being achieved.
Jinjue Jia, the Churangita, Muinis in the Koroman Notre Dame, Notre Dame,
An illustration of where it is useful and appropriate to point out the faults of others would be, let's say, if we take the illustration of our society. So we have our elected representatives, and their activities have a direct impact on us and our community at large. And if we see that they are engaging in actions under the influence of the afflictions that will lead to problems in the future, we have a relationship with them where they need to listen to the views of the electorate. And therefore, with a good motivation, with an altruistic motivation, it is appropriate for us to communicate to them that the way that they are behaving as our elected representatives will lead to more problems and difficulties in the future. So that is an illustration of where we do have a sufficient relationship with someone, and where it is appropriate to point out faults in their behavior. And to summarize this verse now that we've looked at, so here what we've spoken about is the need to investigate our own mind, the need to be aware of what is happening in our own mind, what minds are present and thereby influencing us, and influencing our acts of our physical acts as well as our verbal acts. So here we spoke about utilizing mindfulness and introspection to first of all always be aware of what's happening in our mind. Then secondly, when we notice an affliction present, to immediately apply the antidote, to eliminate that affliction. And this comes about through previously having come to see that afflictions only bring about harm, and that anger, for example, is not justified. So whatever affliction is present, this needs to be eliminated. And so that's the first part of what we've looked at. The second part accompanies this, is that not only should we be using mindfulness and introspection to ensure that afflictions don't arise, or if they do, they are immediately eliminated, but we should also ensure that we have virtuous minds present, and if we need to, generate virtuous minds, so that we have minds such as love and compassion present, and we act under the influence of these. And in this way, we will accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue and purify a tremendous amount of negativities. And doing this, we will, on the one hand, strengthen our habit in terms of making our virtuous minds stronger and our non-virtuous minds weaker. And this will lead, the accumulation of virtue and the strengthening of good habits will lead to the realizations of minds such as the wisdom understanding emptiness and bodhicitta approaching. So those realizations will come nearer and nearer. And then this is dependent on us engaging in the use of mindfulness and introspection, not sporadically, but rather every day and throughout the day, whether we are on our own, whether we are with others, but always being aware and guarding our mind from harmful influences, and ensuring that we rather have a positive and virtuous minds dominant.
Mm-hmm.
So this afternoon we'll continue, we'll start with the next verse. So this is the outline is abandoned criticism of bodhisattvas. So then this is about the faults that come from engaging in the criticizing of others. Okay, so that's the end then of this morning's session. So if you have some questions.
It seems that these afflictions, like me, some are very ingrained in one's psyche. It's quite difficult to actually get rid of them. So should one beat oneself up, or just continue to come back and aware and chip away at them to reduce them?
With the afflictions, some of them are quite ingrained. So how do we react with this when they keep coming back and they don't go away? Do we beat ourselves up, or should we beat ourselves up about this, or should we just persevere? Yeah? Okay. Then he nato nyomong nato nyomong kasi dang jawa ne ta nyopo yare konso nato nato semla tingla degi yare samgito jetsang pangye kalikapore. Then he also, pangye tapsi jena, yini, also, pangye tapsi jena, yini, yankya yongere, yankya yongere. Dini, di mertene yongna, also, kari jekere, also, kari, lotongere, yamena, nyamene jekin kyopo yin, yamena, also, betsen jene jekere, also, kari jekere, kasi, 뉴몬카시 방향은 항상 상의 칼리카보레
칼리카보레 인자당한테 칼리카보레 다디 칼리카보레 다방투서 말해서 샤샤는 딜 두르고와 당한테 칼리카보레 다 델리아 님보다 제치 계지나 계지나 지게 야야야 제반 데 상도 하고 고마 데 스스 윤 두고 니버로 셔마 남쪽이 다 데니기 검시에 제제 뉴모 빠야기 검시 데 스스 니버 차지 두고와 제가 데네 전에 길리 길리 지나 감독이 다와 샤바다 안에 다와다 로다 데네게 끼어 망보 주네네 뭐 매와서 그걸 맞아 남사한테 가고 해.
What you say is correct. That we have a very strong habituation to these afflictive minds, and to reduce them, let alone eliminate them, is not easy. So we face with two options. We either say this is too much, I give up, and the result from that is clear. They will not get weaker on their own, they will just get stronger. So the other alternative is to recognize this reality that they are ingrained, that we have a long-standing habituation with them, and therefore to abandon them will be difficult, and accept that. And in conjunction with accepting that, make the commitment to be over a sustained period to apply ourselves to the eradication. Because if we do apply ourselves over a sustained period to the eradication of the afflictions, undoubtedly we will see change. But the crucial point is making this decision and fulfilling the decision to continue to investigate the mind and to apply the antidotes. Then after some weeks and some months, we will see improvement. And when we see improvement, we need to recognize that and use that as motivation to continue. And then it will improve. No, thank you. Yes, Steve?
Yeah, when looking at phenomena, how can we tell the difference between the mind that merely imputes that phenomena and the mind that grasps the true existence of that phenomena? Is there a quality in it?
So when we are investigating a phenomenon, how can we separate between the mind that grasps at the true existence of that phenomenon and the mind that merely imputes on that phenomenon? Okay. Then he not so chick Dr. Jedu. Then the not so sim ni young sikide. Chick the Dempadrupa nang ye de, chode, Dempadrupa nang ye de, not so tingire. Then young mena, not so low simper, ming tak chamre deni deni yong sikire deni tik dikari yongi yome kandos hako gire
demu tuba desida ganis hako gure la na ngandu ta samdang gu gorwa so su yo samdang je ji tu se yang ne yang de yang ne samdang de ne gili 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 sin ta di yong du sim ngo chue chi li gu ma da nam za da ko ka wa ne demu tuba ngo sam na la ganis nang du se na nam san ngan ji demu tuba nang du mun de se de ka gu do wa se na du sin samdang je ne Pene, cikmu boleh kerja na sam dah sih, ni pene bumba sih sam dah mana bumba sih sam dah itu, ni tu sam dah, ni ni lo liat lo bumba sih sam dah lo dia liat bumba sih kan jadi siapa tu, ni cik di ni ha tu bumba sih kau ayuh baru nang tu, di ni sih macam mana, di bawah tu bah nang madu bah rangguan tu bah nang bawah tu geli geli sih nak aku tu, sih nang geli geli aku tu, dah di ni ki di bawah tu nang di bumba dia ni dah अनि नवाना जी दुए मिने चेबा जी गांदम जिले दि नवाना मेबा हो जों अनि जेन जिले ताने दुवा जेशा सिं बे गली गिले हाव मा लमसा हाव है काम हो ये सिम जी जी
सो सिमिलरली टू द आंसर विद फॉर मार्टिन्स क्वेश्चन यू नीड टू कंटीन्यूअसली इन्वेस्टिगेट सो डूइंग इट ओवर टाइम यू विल कम टू सी द डिफरेंस एंड द रीजन फॉर दैट इज टू कम टू रिकॉग्नाइज द अपीयरेंस ऑफ ट्रू एक्जिस्टेंस इज डिफिकल्ट To even have an understanding of it is difficult, let alone recognize the appearance. So to recognize the appearance of true existence, this takes time and concerted effort. So for example, if we take the illustration, take as an example, we meditate on a vase. So how does this vase appear to us? So we say, oh, it appears to me as truly existence, it's unchanging and not dependent on anything. But that's not really an understanding of what true existence. We haven't really had a realization of the appearance of true existence. We've rather repeated what we've heard. But by going through this process again and again, this mind of wisdom will start to be able to investigate in a subtler manner, more refined manner. And then we'll come to understand what this appearance of true existence is, and then we'll see the difference more easily. But it's difficult, and it takes time. Good question.
Okay,
thank you.